QAnon is now the most prolific online conspiracy theory of the 21st century. None of their predictions came true, Q has vanished, and the storm never came. But QAnon is still alive. I'm Jake Hanrahan, and this is Series 2 of Q Clearance, a podcast shedding light on the ongoing QAnon conspiracy theory. This is a production of Coup d'Etat Media and iHeartRadio. Here at Q Clearance, we've spoken a lot about the way in which QAnon is evolving. We've covered everything from their deranged post-election theories to the neo-Nazi QAnon component rapidly emerging. What I want to do for a bit in this episode, though, is to take it one step further, theoretically at least. Let's imagine a world where somehow QAnon was actually real and legitimate. What they think is happening is happening. Imagine that. We were all wrong and they were all right. Let's imagine this nightmare for a second, that they managed to take over and overthrow enough of the current US order to realize their much-wanted revolution. After a revolution, an economic system must be implemented, right? Well, QAnon even has one of those. It's something called Nasara. We'll get onto that, but just imagine for a minute what would have to happen for the QAnons to get to that point where they are able to implement this economic reform system. Now, the following will obviously be a fictional dramatization, but remember, this is actually all based on the ideas of QAnons themselves. As far as I can tell, after two or more years researching this phenomenon, their storm would look something like this. Thousands of highly trained US military cells loyal to Donald Trump begin storming federal government buildings across the US. Any politician that's a Democrat or even a Republican that hasn't completely backed Q, a so-called rhino, is arrested and taken away in a truck. The voter IDs of Democrats across the US are posted online, and QAnon supporters are given arms to round them up. The White House is stormed by QAnon militias with the help of Trump's secret US military cells. Biden is shot on sight. However, Kamala Harris has managed to escape due to her connections within the police force. Trump emerges from a chopper, landing in the Rose Garden ready for action. He marches into the Oval Office as hundreds of thousands of QAnon supporters scream with excitement outside. The windows are rattling. Meanwhile, voting machines across the country are torched and every Clinton family residence is stormed. It takes a while as there are so many and they're so huge, but eventually Hillary too is rounded up. As the US burns, Q flags are hoisted up over every federal building left standing. Anyone who is considered slightly liberal is accused of being an Antifa terrorist and is shot or arrested. TV networks are stormed without warning by OANN stormtroopers. Anyone who isn't willing to immediately pledge allegiance to Trump's coup and the reign of QAnon is again either executed or arrested. TV networks are taken over entirely by an emergency live system telling the whole of the US that Trump is back and Q was in fact real. On this system, on every screen across the nation, live footage can be seen of a gallows being erected on the lawn outside the White House. There are dozens of rows of them. As this happens, the laws of a standing kangaroo court are read out by Lynn Wood in a top hat. Everyone screams treason at the end of each sentence. The Q Special Forces units arrive in large military trucks, guns drawn. They lead a steady line of quivering politicians to the nooses. The crowds cheer. Where we go one, we go all. It can be heard booming everywhere. The politicians are hanged. The country is now Q's. Now, I know that sounded a little bit overdramatic, but I think it's important to hear it that way because ultimately this is the same sort of fever dream many of the Q followers have been fantasizing about now for years. Now, it might not happen that quickly, but in their minds, the true QAnon believers think all of the aforementioned in that little story is ready to happen at any moment. So, after this theoretical QAnon overthrow, what economic system would keep the Q followers thriving? Well, they've thought of that too. As I mentioned, it's something called NASARA, N-A-S-A-R-A. The concept has actually been around much longer than Q, but as we all know by now, QAnon likes to pull at threads from many different theories and ideas, amalgamating it, putting its own spin on it, and turning it into something quite original, if not a bit evil. So, NASARA. Recently, on the QAnon Telegram channels, I've seen NASARA mentioned more and more. People are saying, when will NASARA start? How can I live within the NASARA economic system? What will the NASARA reforms do for me? That sort of thing. So, I spoke to Travis View of the excellent QAnon Anonymous podcast. I wanted him to explain to us what the hell NASARA actually is. Maybe you can just explain what actually is NASARA.
Yeah, NASARA is kind of like a proto-QAnon, and it started out fairly innocently. So all the way back in the 90s, there was a man named Harvey Francis Bernard, and he came up with these proposed economic reforms that he called the National Economic Security and Recovery Act, or NASARA. And he printed out copies of these reforms and sent them to members of Congress. And of course, they all ignored it because it just really wasn't plausible. These economic reforms involved things like abolishing the income tax in favor of sales tax, abolishing a sort of compound interest on some securities, and also returning to sort of bimetallic currency, the sort of the gold and silver standard. However, you also Harvey Francis Bernard also produced a book about his reforms called Draining the Swamp, funnily enough. But, you know, it would have probably just sort of been lost to history if it wasn't for the fact that some people, like around 2000, they started to get the idea that NASARA had been passed secretly by Congress. Now, obviously, that's not how laws work. Laws can't be passed secretly. But they got this idea thanks to a woman named Shani Goodwin, who operated by the name Dove of Oneness online. And Shani Goodwin, she herself has an interesting history. She had some involvement with some cults up in Washington State, and she also fell for what they call the Omega Trust scam, which was run by this scammer named Clyde Hood, who claimed that if people gave him some money, they could, you know, 50 times it or 5,000 times it. So what happened is that she started getting a following talking about the Omega Trust, claiming that the money that all these dupes, all these marks thought was coming to them was going to happen soon. She kept promising and promising and promising. And of course, it didn't happen. Eventually, Clyde Hood, you know, he gets arrested. and so he can't run that scam anymore. But Shani Goodwin, she keeps her audience going by claiming that this NASARA bill was going to be revealed soon. And she added a lot of bizarre claims, such as that after NASARA is revealed, it would lead to worldwide economic prosperity. Just everyone is incredibly wealthy, and also world peace. And she claimed that there's this battle going on behind the scenes between what they call like the white knights and the black knights, and they thought that the only reason that the secret law isn't being revealed was because of this battle.
Right, very QAnon-like.
Yes. It is extremely QAnon-like. It also involved when 9/11 happened. She integrated that. She claimed that basically there was some sort of computer in the Twin Towers that would make Nisara official. But the planes crashing into the Twin Towers helped ruined it, and that was the only reason that the attacks of 9/11 happened.
So how is it that QAnon ended up involved with this all these years later?
Well, QAnon followers, they are also very utopian. They think that after the truth of all their conspiracy theories is finally revealed, we're going to enter into a grand new age of peace and prosperity and togetherness. And so as a consequence, many have absorbed the Nisara narrative as explaining how this supposed global prosperity is going to happen. So this has been going on, you know, over 20 years now.
Right. So I've been seeing them saying that, like, this is going to be, like, implemented. How would that, like, how does that fit into the QAnon universe? Because obviously Q would have to implement it. You know, Q is behind everything. How are they keying these two things up?
So in the QAnon world, they often believe that things like poverty and war and illness aren't caused by a complex set of social or just medical factors. They think that everything that's bad that goes on in the world is because of the cabal. There's a secret group of people who want to extend the suffering of us common people. And so they believe that, you know, once these evil people are done away with, and once the evilness of these people is finally exposed, then we can sort of enter into the great new golden age. And so, Nisara obviously plays into that because it plays upon the, many of the same tropes, the belief that the only reason people are struggling for any reason is because that, is because of this evil cabal.
Right. And there's Nisara and there's Gusara, right?
Yes. This was another addition by the people who believed in Nisara. They thought that it wasn't merely a national economic security and recovery act. It was global, the Global Economic Security and Recovery Act. And as a consequence of this, Nisara Jasara started getting a following in the Netherlands, actually. It became an international movement.
Right. So how is life going to look for the QAnons, do they think, under this? If this was actually happening, like, how do they see their day-to-day? I mean, I know it's a weird question, but I'm just trying to get into my head what they think would happen.
I mean, yeah, they think that literally that they're going to open up their bank account one day and then discover that they're all millionaires and that no one's going to be poor anymore, and somehow I don't think they quite took how this would affect inflation or other kind of complex economic effects of everyone suddenly simultaneously becoming incredibly wealthy, but this is essentially what they think is going to happen. I mean, they really think that once the truth is exposed, it will lead to the end of poverty and conflict and even illness.
Wow. And there's nothing concrete that this is based on other than what sound like predictions, to be honest, from the person you mentioned before who kind of started all of this.
No, it's fueled on nothing but hope and some, like I said, some vague economic proposals made by a Texas engineer that never got any traction in Congress.
Yeah, it sounds very QAnon. That's very interesting. Thank you. I wanted to ask you as well, while you're here, are you surprised how many followers there still are of Q? Like, on the Telegrams, there's hundreds of thousands of people still invested in this. You know what I mean? Maybe I was being naive. I was quite shocked to see how many people are still holding on.
I'm unfortunately not surprised, just because of how long I've been following it and how often I've seen them weather false predictions. For example, all the way back in 2018, I saw Q tell QAnon followers that the midterm elections that year would lead to a red wave, meaning that the Republicans would increase their majorities and the Democrats would be shut out. In reality, what happened was that Democrats took the House. I thought this was a clear false prediction. I thought it would dissuade QAnon followers from continuing to believe. But of course, that didn't happen at all. So ever since then, I realized that a lot of these people, they're simply too invested. They've invested too much time. They've sacrificed too much. They've sacrificed sometimes their family relationships. They've sacrificed their careers. And so as a consequence of all that sacrifice, I really don't see a scenario in which they would just totally give it up. They really need this to happen.
Travis View there speaking about Nasara and the inability for QAnons to let go despite the many, many failed predictions. Like Travis just said there, these people need this to happen. They've invested so much time and energy into it that basically this has to happen for them. Otherwise, it has been a huge waste of time. Now, you and me, you might just think, well, if something fails, if it wasn't right, you kind of cut your losses and you leave, that's that. Well, no, for a lot of the QAnon supporters, things have got extremely dark. There are people whose whole families have been destroyed by this, and there is even the possibility that one woman was sent so insane by the QAnon mania that she actually committed two murders. We will be talking about that in the next episode of Q Clearance and looking into the ways that this conspiracy theory has done and continues to destroy people's lives. It's quite funny to look at some of the insane theories, especially looking at Nasara as we just have, but genuinely, there is some very bad things happening here to people that believe in QAnon and the families and the people that are around them. More on that in the next episode. Q Clearance is brought to you by iHeartRadio and Coup d'Etat Media. I'm Jake Hanrahan. You can find me online at Jake_Hanrahan. That's HANRAHAN. You can get Q Clearance merch at darkwash.net. This episode was produced by myself with fact-checking and additional research by Sarah Hightower. The music is by Sam Black and the sound was mixed by Thomas Griffin at Splicing Block.